Doesn't make a difference. Okay, I'm sitting. Bereshus Ol Rabbanim, thank you very, very much, Rabbi Targum, for the exaggerated words. I always, every time I speak in Gush, and this is not my first time, Baruch Hashem, I've had this privilege a few times, I always try to make it a point to let you know how special an opportunity you have, how special a privilege you have. And I'm telling you this from someone who sees people who have been to this yeshiva, but are 15 years out from where you are. Rav Targum mentioned the shul that I am privileged to be the rabbi of. That shul is built with people who took what they got from their yeshiva and continue to maintain a kesher with the yeshiva, and certainly a kesher with what they've gained from their yeshiva. And the Gush guys in my shul are the top of the line. They're involved in every element of Talmud Torah that we do on all different fronts, and much of that is from the inspiration of the Rashi Yeshiva Zichrono Levracha, as well as the Rashi Yeshiva Shlita, and of Rav Targum and the other Rebbeim, just the other Rabbanim, Rabbi Ryan. It's always a schus to see you, and Rabbi Weber and everybody else. Rav Targum mentioned to me on the plane yesterday that you're learning Shabbos, and that maybe we should do something related to Bishul B'Shabbos. And then Levi told me that, Rav Levi Friedman, who's here from Lander College, also told me that his brother, Rav Yonatan Shai Friedman, had said that maybe some cutting-edge Shailas in Hilcha Shabbos. So how to do cutting-edge Shaila and Bishul B'Shabbos at the same time. So there is a cutting-edge Bishul B'Shabbos Shaila that comes to mind. Maybe by a show of hands, you can tell me if you've ever heard of this, because I had not, and it is a Gush guy who told me about it, who davens in my shul, Gavri Butler. I believe he's on the board, if I'm not mistaken, of American Friends. But tell me the am I right about that? Is he on the board? Yeah. Who told me the following? Have you ever heard of sous vide cooking?
No.
Well, some people. Wow. Okay. Wow. You see. So the for those who don't know, here's how it works. Gavri Butler did a demonstration for me. What you do is you take a pot of water and you take this sous vide machine and you put it in the water, and it keeps, you set it to a temperature 127 degrees, let's say, and you keep it, and it keeps all the water at exactly 127 degrees. It rotates the water in and out of the machine, keeps it at exactly whatever you set it as. You then take a piece of meat, let's say, put it in a Ziploc bag with all the spices and everything else that you're going to want that meat to taste like. You're going to put it in a Ziploc bag. You submerge the bag in the water, and you leave it there for many, many, many hours, because it's cooking at an extremely low temperature. If you were to put something on a barbecue, you're cooking at 500 degrees. You put something in an oven, you're cooking at 350 degrees. Over here, you're cooking at 127 degrees. So the way the Shaila originally came up, Gavri had asked me, he wanted to set up a sous vide machine. I forget which yantif it was. Maybe it was right after. It was for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah this year came out on a Monday, Tuesday, right? So he wanted to set it up on Thursday to start the cooking so that he'll have a perfect steak on Monday. Like, that's how long it takes. It's days in the process. And he actually brought me over some samples. It's delicious. The advantage of it is, the reason that people do it, is that it cooks so slowly, and it doesn't lose, and it gets perfectly evenly cooked. You know, sometimes you put something on a barbecue. I don't know if any of you are into grilling. I like to grill in my house. That's like the one thing I know how to do and not mess up. So I'm in charge of the barbecuing. I have a whole theory why men are better barbecuers than women, but that's a different schmooze for a different time. Bekitzer, it's because when a man is barbecuing, a man is barbecuing. When a woman is barbecuing, she's cleaning, she's doing this, she's doing that. So when you barbecue something, you'll notice that the outside gets charred and the inside could still be very red and raw. When you cook something with sous vide, it gets completely evenly cooked throughout, and the breakdown of the meat happens in such a way where no matter how tough a piece of meat you begin with, it becomes completely soft. It's like butter. It's just you almost don't have to chew it. It becomes so soft. So this is like the up and coming. It used to be something that you had to be a sous vide chef who was for experts, who was in fancy restaurants. Rav Sachs, our Rosh Shiva in Landers, told me he was at a restaurant and he noticed one item on the menu was four times the price of every other item on the menu. And he said, what's the story with that? And they said, oh, that's sous vide cooked. So that's been cooking for a week in our kitchen, you know, so that's why it costs more money. But now you can go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm not advertising for them, probably on Amazon in a million places, and get for $150, you get a sous vide machine and it becomes the new must-have appliance because there aren't enough of them. So this is the new must-have appliance. So the question is, how does this relate to Hilchos Shabbos? Now, the shaila that I've been getting since I started talking about this is in Hilchos Shabbos, from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective, is obviously you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Obviously, you're not pushing the buttons on Shabbos. But if you want to have your sous vide steak for Shabbos lunch, and it doesn't have to be steak, it could be chicken, it could be anything, but you want to have it for Shabbos lunch, are you allowed to set up the machine on Thursday or on Friday so that it will be cooking in order to be able to have it for Shabbos lunch? So what's the issue over here? Bishul to Shabbos you're not doing, right? You're not actually doing any bishul. So this isn't an actual question of a mlacha daraisa of bishul, but what is it a question of? Shemiyachta begachalim, which is a concern that is the reason for the isser of
cooking meat, putting meat right on before Shabbos.
Of shihia, right? Putting something up before Shabbos so that it'll cook into Shabbos. So that's certainly one major issue. I think there's another major issue in all the literature. I didn't find much literature on this. I found a very limited amount of like secondhand. I think I once spoke to this rabbi who said there hasn't been much written on it yet, but I think there's another major issue that a lot of people are missing that requires discussion over here. It's completely submerged in the water. Hatmana. So I think there's a major hatmana question over here. So let's discuss what these things are. From what I understand, Rav Targum told me that, I don't know if all the shiurim are on the same. Yeah?
Why is it obviously not bishul? Because of the temperature? Because it's cooked before Shabbos?
No. I mean, you're not doing a maisa bishul on Shabbos at all. You're setting it up before Shabbos. So we're not talking about bishul d'oraisa. If you were to do it on Shabbos, then we'd have a real shayla of bishul for sure. But you're in fact. Depending on how you define yatzel ezbon, depending on what temperature you set it as. You set it at. It gets to the exact temperature that the water is at. That's the whole kutz. That the piece of meat gets to the. But it's also it's affecting a qualitative change, meaning it's getting more better than machal ben drusai, and it's constantly mitstamik viafalo. The longer you leave it in, the better it becomes. We're jumping too far ahead. Let's start with the basics over here. So we spoke about this idea called shihiyah. The Mishnah Masechah Shabbos Daf Lamed Vav tells us that raw food that's begun cooking cannot be left on an open flame on Shabbos. That is an Isser Midrabanan. It's not an act of Bishul. You're not doing anything on Shabbos. Everything is done before Shabbos. And the concern is, Shem Yechad B'Kchalim, we're afraid that if you leave something cooking from before Shabbos, and you're going to see that it's not cooking quickly enough, and you really want it to be ready for your meal, we're afraid you might stoke the coals, make the fire a little higher on Shabbos, in order that it should be ready more quickly. There is an exception to that concern, that Shami Yechata B'Kchalim, that exception is, of course, if you have a Kedera Chaisa, if you have a piece of something that's raw, and this is also very relevant over here, where no amount of stoking the coals is going to help, is going to do anything to help the cooking process, so then there's no concern of Shami Yechata B'Gachalim. There's discussion in contemporary poskim, you know, for years we assumed Keder Chaisa doesn't exist anymore, for whatever reason, that there's no such thing as a piece of meat that couldn't get finished in short enough order for you to be able to enjoy it that night. You could always turn on the flame a little higher and get it ready. Crockpots already started a discussion in the poskim, that it's meant to be a slow cooker. So if something is meant to be, it's built as a slow cooker, so maybe for something like that, you have the concept of Kedera Chaisa. But first, some of the basics over here. How cooked does the food have to be in order for Shihiyah to be permitted? Meaning it could be that we can get around the issue of Shihiyah. Yeah. So this machlokas, it's machlokas tanoim, and we'll see the shita of Chananya is that machl ben Rusai, that once it's kemachl ben Rusai, before Shabbos could be left on the flame, we're not concerned that you're going to adjust the flame. Shulchan Aruch quotes that as a yesh omrim, that if it gets kemachl ben Rusai. Shita sarabanan is that it can only be left if it reaches the point of mitztamek v'ralo. That's a big difference, because these types of things, if you set it up 2 days in advance, it's for sure at machl ben Rusai, but it's never going to be mitztamek v'ralo. What does mitztamek v'ralo mean? That the longer you keep it, the worse it's getting, right? Over here, the longer you keep it going, the better it's getting. It's never mitztamek v'ralo. So it's unlikely to ever reach that point. So water that has reached Yad Soledis, we consider it to be mitztamek v'ralo for whatever reason. Shulchan Aruch quotes that shita, the shita of the Rabbanan, as the day of Rishon, as the first day. So Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, and the Ramah says that our minig is to be mekel like Chananya. So that's why you assumed like Chananya, that the minig is to be mekel like Chananya, which would have been a great end to the story for those of us in the room who are Ashkenazic Jews to say, okay, great, that we follow the opinion of Chananya. But the Bir Halacha recommends that we should be machmir unless there's a tzorach gadol. For example, a number of guests are going to be arriving shortly, so you need the food, because the Bir Halacha writes that the only reason the Beis Yosef doesn't entirely reject this opinion is that Yisrael adukim b'mitzvah sonek Shabbos u'bevadei lo yishmu lanu. That Jews love oneg Shabbos so much, which is another way of saying we really like to eat, so we love oneg Shabbos so much, you're going to give chumras in oneg Shabbos, b'vadei lo yishmu lanu. No one's going to listen to the chumras against oneg Shabbos. They like to enjoy. So generally speaking, we do our best to have our food fully cooked before Shabbos, and we use a blech to satisfy the shita of the Rabbanan. But over here, you can't. As we'll soon see, it's not as simple. So, as a lechatchila issue, it would seem, certainly according to that Bir Halacha, we should not simply rely on the fact that it's already at Machal Ben Rusai, because lechatchila we try to be choshesh for the shita of the chachamim as well. So that alone is not the end of the world, because lahalacha, we really paskin like Chananya, but we try to satisfy the shita of the Rabbanan lechatchila. So it wouldn't be the end of the world, but it's not great to do such a thing lechatchila. Now, if you have food that is not cooked enough, so how can you do it? How can you put up a challenge before Shabbos and leave it cooking on Shabbos? How do you do it? What's the Eitzah? What do we do? Garavikatum. So how do you accomplish garavikatum? Well, when you used to have a coal oven and you could sweep out the coals and the oven would remain hot, or you can throw some ashes on the coals to dull the flames a little bit, that was one way of doing it. We don't have that anymore. So we typically use a type of blech. Now, in a normal gas stovetop, a blech is very easy. You put a sheet of metal on top of the stovetop. A discussion in contemporary poskim that if the reason for garavikatum is shani echata b'gchalim, that you might come to raise the flame, so there's a discussion in the poskim, what needs to be covered? Do you need to cover the actual fire, which is the classic way of achieving garavikatum, by putting something on the fire, or do you need to cover the knobs where you would normally, no one goes to their gas stovetop with a big canister of fuel and just like throws it on the fire. That's not the way you raise the flame. You raise the flame by adjusting the knob. I think Rav Aaron Cutler famously had Paskin, I think Rabbi Eider quotes in his Hilchos Shabbos book from Rav Aaron Cutler, that just to cover the knobs, but most of the other poskim assume you cover the fire. Now, nowadays they make a blech usually with that bends at a right angle so that it covers both the chachila. That's great. That's wonderful when you're dealing with a gas stovetop. But once you're dealing with something else, once you're dealing with more modern appliances, garavikatum is not so easy to figure out. I'll give you an example. How many of you have a warming drawer in your house? So warming drawers are tricky. I asked my two rebbeim, two of my rebbeim about warming drawers, got very different answers. Rav Schachter is not very excited about use of warming drawers on Shabbos. Rabbi Willig, while not super excited about it, does think that there's a way to make it garavikatum, make it mutter. How would you make a warming drawer garavikatum? So the where's the heating element? The heating element's like it's these coils hidden underneath the drawer itself. So you would have to line the thing with foil, but the knob, there is no knob, the buttons that can raise or lower the temperature of the warming drawer are usually on top of the oven, whereas the drawer is all the way on the bottom. It's like 2.5 feet away. So it's not like you could just take one piece and, Sarabay Willick says, yeah, you got to line the whole thing with foil, run a piece of foil out of the drawer on up all the way up the side of the oven to where the buttons are, and then cover the buttons as well with the same piece of foil, because it should all be garfikatim in a recognizable way that you should see that it's happening from the outside. Yeah.
Why do you need the sheet of foil to run from one to the other?
Yeah, so that I never really fully understood. I thought it would be enough to just have the foil and then a separate cover on the. You can ask him. I'm sure we'll be visiting at some point. You can ask him, but.
You already did.
Next year. Okay. So you got to stay next year to ask. But when it comes to something like this, how do you cover the heating element? Meaning, here's a machine that goes into a pot of water. If you cover the machine, then nothing's going to happen. The whole thing's not going to work. So what? You're going to just cover the control knob? So here's where it gets a little tricky. You can cover the buttons on top, but almost every one of these machines comes with an app that you can just put onto your phone, and that way if you're at work and you want to adjust the temperature from 127 to 132, you just, click it into your phone and it, through the Wi-Fi. Because why wouldn't it have Bluetooth, right? That's the future of cooking. So it's not so partial to me how one can achieve garif vikatim on something like this. So, when applying to sous vide, the svar to be mekel has to be more along the kedera chaisa, that you're less concerned shem yichata, because adraba, you don't want to mess around with the temperatures. It's supposed to be, you follow a specific recipe that's supposed to very, very slowly cook over days or week or a week even, and you leave it at that temperature. I don't think garif vikatim is really going to work over here, and machlo ben drusai is something we try not to rely on lechatchila. So that's as far as shihia is concerned. So can you get around shihia? Can you solve the issue of shihia? Again, may ikar adin, as long as it's machal ben drusai, it's really okay, but we'd rather not rely on that. I think you have kedera chaisa, the fact that it's meant to be slow cooked over such an extended period of time, I think that helps a great deal over here. The second issue, I think, is somewhat challenging, and that is hatmana. General background to hatmana, I'm sure you know already, but the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Daled says that you're not allowed to insulate a pot in anything that intensifies the heat, lest you come to be matmin with coals, and then you're going to come to stoke the coals again, shem yichata b'gchalim, and stoking the coals, of course, will be a violation of both havara and bishul. It's going to raise the fire, and it's going to cook the item that is the davar mutman, and not only that, there are sometimes the Yisur of Hatmana, as we'll soon see, applies even before Shabbos, even if you set it up before Shabbos. So in order to violate Hatmana, this Yisur of insulating, there have to be four conditions that are met in order for Hatmana to be a legitimate concern. First of all, I remember one of my sisters who went to, all three of my sisters went to the same seminary in Israel, and one of the, they each came out completely different from the same place. Very, just shows you, individuals are individuals, regardless. But but one of them came home and said to me, I think Abba's doing something wrong with, something related to Bishul B'Shabbos. So I said, first of all, there's no way Abba's doing anything wrong. Abba has nothing to do with Bishul B'Shabbos, so Ima maybe, but there's no. But she said, no, I think there's hatmana going on. I said, where? She said, well, the hatchalas are taken out of the oven, and he puts the challah cover over the warm challahs. I said, a little bit of knowledge is very, very dangerous. You have to know a little bit more than a little bit before you go around criticizing. I'm glad you came to me before you went to them. Why is she wrong? Why is it not hatman? I mean, what she was saying is taking hot challahs, and here you're insulating them by putting a challah cover over them. So why isn't that hatmana?
It's not completely
surrounding it.
Ah, so there are several reasons why it's not Atmana. That is one of the reasons. One of the Tanayim, one of the conditions for Atmana, the Rama writes in Reshon Gimel Sif Aleph, is that if it's not totally enclosed, it's Mutter. The extent of the enclosure that you need to violate Atmana was the subject of what they say, I think, was Rav Shlomo Zalman's last psak when it came to crockpots. Does it need to be covered on top also, or only on the sides, in order for it to be Atmana? The Prima Gadim in Reishlin Tess mentions this issue already, this debate, and Shlomo Zalman supposedly was machmir that if it's mostly surrounded, that's already considered atmana, and that's why he was machmir with the crockpot. I remember when I asked Rav Shechter about the crockpot right after I got married, my wife used to make challah in the crockpot, so I was always told about the hatmana issue that you got to put like silver foil balls in the bottom of the crockpot in order to raise the pot up so it's not directly touching. So I asked, or rocks or something. So I asked him about it. He said, no, it's not totally surrounded anyway. It's not covered on the top anyway. It's not a hatmana. He said, hachzara is a real issue. If you're going to take the pot out and put it back in, then you got to make sure. And shehiyah is a real issue. And those I didn't know anything at the time. Those I was totally unaware of, those issues of shehiyah and hachzara. But hatmana is only an issue if it's totally wrapped. The second tanai of hatmana is that the food has to still be in a kli rishon. The Shulchan Aruch in Reishon and Zayin Sif Hei writes that if it's not in the Kli Rishon, then it is permissible in something that's not Mosif Hevel. So that's why the Chazon Ish allows you to put hot soup in a thermos, because the thermos is a Kli Sheni, and therefore it's Hatmana, B'davar She'eino Mosif Hevel, in a Kli Sheni, as long as it's not in the Kli Rishon. So the Chalos, what would you say? Is that called the Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni? It's a davar gush, so maybe that's very good. Okay, that's a chumrah. The taz that we're going to assume that something that's a davar gush is always going to be considered a kli rishon, but to start adding up the chumras, I think, is unnecessary. Third condition, and this is why this is the real heter. Not that you need a heter, but this is the real reason why the challah is not an issue at all. Is that hatman is only when the intention is to be matman. You know, why do you put a challah cover on the challahs? So the Torah quotes, you know, there we find. We showed him three different reasons why we use challah covers. None of them are to keep the challahs warm, right? We have a zeicher l'man, we have shloyira pas poshto, right? We have what's the pashtus of the Gemara in the 10th Paragraph of Pesachim is to show cover to Shabbos that you immediately right after Kiddush show that you're being mechabed the Shabbos by presenting the food as in the context of praise of Shabbos. So you see clearly that the meal is being presented to cover Shabbos. No one says that the reason you use a challah cover is to keep the challahs warm, because that's no one's intention in using a challah cover. The Shulchan Aruch in Reishon and Zayin Sif Bei says that if the intention is not to retain the heat, then it is totally permissible. So that's why you could put the cover on a pot, even if you're happy about the fact that heat is going to be retained in the pot, because the covering on the pot is to protect the contents of the pot. It's not to achieve hatmana. That's why also a kugel could be put in a chalent pot when the main intention is just to absorb some of the taste of the chalent, or kishka in a chalent, or something like that. Back in the days when kishka used to be healthy, but it's now Jews eat healthier. Baruch Hashem, it's a good thing. So that's why a fourth condition of atmana is that it has to be in direct contact with the container. That if it's not direct contact, and this is part of the warming drawer issue also, that some wonder why wouldn't the warming drawer be an issue of hatmana? Well, unless the pot takes the shape of the drawer itself, where the davra matman is in direct contact with the davra mutman, then l'chora it would not be hatmana. The way you use a challah cover typically is you drape it over the challahs. You're not surrounding the challahs in the challah cover, you're just draping it over the challahs, would therefore not be a problem. They used to sell, for hot water urns, they used to sell these covers to keep to intensify the heat of the urn that would fit snugly, perfectly around the urn, and you would zip it up tightly around the urn, and it said on it, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, I remember Mori Rabbi Rav Willick said that it should say L'chilul Shabbos Kodesh, because that's what you're doing. You're being Matmin B'davar Amos of Hevel, but that's because it directly fit perfectly around the urn. I keep referring to it. There are two types of Hatmana. There's Davar Amos of Hevel, which is something that will intensify the heat beyond what it currently is at, and Davar Shein Amos of Hevel. Davar Amos of Hevel is Asur even when you set it up before Shabbos. So now let's apply this to Suvi. Is this a violation of Hatmana? Is this the meat is being completely surrounded by the water? So is that considered Hatmana? So at first I wanted to say, my first thought was, no, this isn't Hatmana at all. Why not? Anyone ever have chicken soup on Shabbos? Right? We've had chicken soup on Shabbos. The chicken is in the soup, no? Totally submerged. Sometimes carrots also, in the soup, totally submerged. Why isn't that Hatmana? It's totally submerged in this water that's very hot. So why isn't it Hatmana? Yeah, it's part of the soup. It's so isn't this just meat that's in this hot water that's like, it's ki'ilu, like a chicken soup? So not really. Why? What's the difference? Because over here, the water is not the food at all. The water is there, dafka, to provide the heat. It's not like a chicken soup. A chicken soup, the water is part of the food. The water is part of the soup. Over here, the water is there, dafka, for the purpose of providing the heat. Chazanish and Siman Lamed Zayin, Osamun Beis, right, said heating a baby bottle in water is not Hatmana either, which is against the Mishnah Berurah, happens to be. The Mishnah Berurah writes that in the name of Achronim, in Rishon Chesef Katan Beis, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Sha'asu the name of Achronim, Sha'asu likach kli ubetocha mashket sonein v'litchovo so b'Shabbos l'kli malei mayim chan." You can't take something that has cold content and dip it in, submerge it in something that's full of hot water, so that it could be warmed up, even if it doesn't get to Yad Saledus Bo. Shezehu derech hatmana mamish, because that's the definition. That is hatmana itself. Now, the Chazon Ish writes that, no, it's not an Isra of Hatmana. Based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem and Beis, you can have to take a look at the Gemara and see if it's a very good Raya. The Gemara talks about taking a Kli that has oil in it and putting that Kli in a larger Kli that has warm water in it. So the Chazon Ish says, you see that it's mutter, that's mamish, a baby bottle. You're taking a Kli that has oil in it and putting it in a larger Kli that has water in it. Now one could argue, who says you're totally submerging? You got to look at the Gemara, Shabbos, Daf Mem. Are you totally submerging it, or are you just partially sticking it in? This happens to be Chaznish L'shita, so that Chaznish thinks even partially would be a violation of Hatmana, and therefore it's not, you can't just answer by saying, oh, it's only partial submersion. The Chaznish would say, exactly, and that's Hatmana. So that's why the Chaznish has this Raya. Question?
Yeah, if we're talking about hot water being heated up by surrounding water, don't we have a very explicit Mishnah in the third or fourth paragraph of Shabbos that of running water through the hot springs, and that's Asur and Shabbos?
Yeah, so when I asked Rav Schechter about this, so that was the first thing he thought of. He thought of that Mishnah, but he still wasn't sure because of these conflicts that the Chazon Ish has. That Chazon Ish is Mekel. He wasn't sure that it was a good riot, but that running water through, say again, what was the Mishnah? Remind me the Mishnah, how does it go? That if you're running
water through the spring.
Yeah, that. By the Chamei Tveria. So maybe, why was that different? Because it was the Chamei Tveria? I don't know.
Chamei Tveria, he's heating the water.
Right. Right. So why, that was the first thing Rav Schechter said, but he wasn't sure. I don't remember why he said he didn't think it was a match. He didn't think it was a match.
That's not
you can't heat that up. You can't heat up Chamei Tveria.
Because there's no heating up. It's naturally hot springs. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. Now, when I spoke to a variety of people about this, someone sent me a correspondence that he had with Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha. Unfortunately, Rav Belsky's not here to ask anymore. And Rav Belsky's entire discussion related to the Shehiyah issue, and he didn't address Hatmana at all. I'm not sure why. To me, it would seem that that money issue would be a considerable issue over here, because it's mamish completely submerged. It's hitting on all sides, and it's the water that that's being used to heat it up. That's with the kavana that it will add heat. It seems to fit all the criteria of hatmana. So I'm not sure why it wouldn't be hatmana. It's not a liquid over here. You're putting meat in it, and it's so I'm not sure why it wouldn't be hatmana. So even if we get through the Shia issue, I would think that it's a violation of hatmana. Now, what one might do, one chef told me that he said, I would never do hatmana anyway to have it for Shabbos day, because if you want to have a good piece of steak, you would take it out right before Shabbos so that you could blowtorch the outside so it can get crispy. I don't know what goes on in people's kitchens. He says that you could blowtorch the outside so it can get crispy, and then it will be a delicious piece of steak. But otherwise, it's just going to be, the whole thing's going to be totally soft. Now, an interesting side note over here, and the shaila that was originally asked was not really a Shabbos-related shaila per se. The shaila that was originally asked was a case where the guy wanted to keep it going through Shabbos so that he could have it for Yontif. And that's a separate issue. Can you keep it going through Shabbos to have it for Yontif? So, to make a long story short, there's a rush in the 8th parak of Yuma. Now, this is just the way halacha works sometimes. You can learn through all of Hilchos Shabbos and you won't really see anything, but in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, you have such halacha. The rush in the 8th parak of Yuma quotes, in the name of Rav Amram, that Be'erev Yom HaKippurim Einan Rasham Lahat Mincham in Kemosha Olsen Be'erev Shabbos Mnei She'ein Tomna Secham Ne'elo Kovit Shabbos V'zenim Tzo'ochlo B'chol B'motzoi Yom HaKippurim. He says that you're not allowed to do Atmana on Erev Yom Kippur in order to have what to eat after Yom Kippur, because you're only doing it for a tzorech chol, for after Yom Kippur. Ve'ein lahatmin b'shvil chol, and you're not allowed to be matmin for a weekday. The Rush himself tries to figure out whether we paskin that way, whether we should hold that way. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch first says that you're allowed to be matmin chamin me'erev Yom Kippurim motzai Yom Kippurim, but the Ramah quotes a Yesh Omrim that we should not do that. And v'chein ha'minig b'medina se'elu, the Ramah writes that the minig is that way as well. The question is, when would this Isser start? Meaning the guy wants to put it up already on Thursday beforehand, so you're going to say the Isser Hatmana is ready. You know, at what point do you need to be thinking Shabbos? You need to be thinking that this is going to be a violation of Hatmana for Shabbos. So if he's putting it up Thursday to go through the Shabbos, it would seem that it would not be may not be a problem. The major svar lahakal on both Shihia and Hatmana when doing it for Shabbos is that it very likely is not Bishul Da'oraisa to begin with. In Mincha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman writes that he records a fascinating conversation that he had with Chazon Ish. He says that I told the Chazon Ish, Amarti lo, this is in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Yud Beis in footnote Ha'ara 3. He says Amarti lo, Shamartiach Mayim B'Shabbes Ayde Mazlei Chashmali Sheshnei Kitzvosam Ruchakim. He says he talks about putting some sort of immersion heater to heat up water. He says L'Da'ati Isura Rak Midrabanan Dekivan Shazare Meinenu Eish. He says, what are you cooking with over here? You're not cooking with an actual eish, and if you're not cooking with an actual eish, then it may only be bishul midrabanan. Says Rosham Zalman, if it's an issur drabanan, we should still be concerned about it, but if you're in a hospital and someone has to violate an issur to cook something for you, you'd rather them violate an issur drabanan rather than violate an issur d'oraisa. So since you're not cooking in a derech bishul, you're not cooking with eish at all, it would seem that that would be. So this what the sous vide really is a very sophisticated form of an immersion heater. They used to have, I remember my 8th grade Rebbe used to keep a cup of water on his desk, and he had this coil thing that he would stick in and it would warm up the water. So that's sort of Shlomo Zalman's talking about, some type of contraption like that, something a little different. different, but something like that. And he writes, fascinatingly, he says, he told this to the Chaznish. I can't imagine what a conversation between the Chaznish and Rav Shlomo Zalman about electricity in particular would have gone like. You know, that, but he says, the Chaznish said to me that Ve'eshiv li b'pshitus, de kemosham vashel mayim chayim shem told him e'esh chayiv chatas, kach gamem vashel bezerm shel chashmal holu b'derech klal utalu chayotzer esh havle kein ibur shel esh. He says Chaznish said to me that he thinks this is also considered a derech bishul. It's also considered like cooking be'esh ukumosha chayavan al toda kach gamal ibur holu b'derech klalu asu lios esh. Because often this is something that leads to esh even if it's not esh per se. So that's how Rav Shlomo Zalman presents the Chaznish's response. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Ma'oris palesi l'shmoa davrzeh, v'yaldus hoysabi, lomar sharak harishonim ayucholim lomar chidush gadol kazeh. He says, I had the immaturity to tell the Chaznish that you need to be a Rishon to say a Svara, like he said. That's something that could sometimes be an Eish, is like Eish, and therefore, he said, you have to be a Rishon. So what did the Chaznish say back? Achu Chazer v'heshev, sheleda'ato hu pashut. Ve'ein tzrichim klal lios rashba lomar davar zeh. So the Chaznish said back to him, I don't think so. I don't think you have to be the Rashba. I think you could just be the Chaznish and say such a svara. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman, since he's the one that's writing the Sefer, ulam gama yom zeh tamua ma'od be'enai. But, I still don't really fully get it, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. So at the end of the day, this is going to be something that people are asking questions about. It is going to be something that I would strongly encourage you, as you're going through these sugyas, to try to figure out if this is something that's mutter or asr on Shabbos. There's not a whole lot of literature. You got to convince Rav Rimon to write something on this. There's not a ton of literature on this topic. But l'anias daiti, it would seem that it would be a violation of hatmana. Shehiya, at least not lechatchila. It would seem that it's something that one should not do lechatchila. If one does it, there are a number of snifim that he could probably put together lahakel. Yeah.
Hatmana is where you have something and like you're trying to make sure that it stays warm. But like cooking itself, we already know that once you fill some of the requirements of cooking,
right? Meaning, if this is the bishul, then it's not.
But it's the act of cooking, and therefore it just excludes the whole idea of hatmana in the first place.
I'm just not sure about that. I'm not sure if that's true, that part of the act of cooking is excluded from hatmana in the first place. Meaning when you have a chicken soup, it's excluded from hatmana because that's part of the that's part of the soup. But I don't know, when you the pot is not hatmana because that's the pot. Hatmana is something around the pot. But over here you have the bag is the thing that it's cooking in. I don't know. I'm not sure that it's excluded. In a chinami, you can't cook with just the bag, but you can't cook with just the pot either. Obviously, you need a heating element. Right, but meaning the heating element is heating up the water. But I'm not sure. I hear the svara, but I'm not sure unless there's a raya that says that way. I mean, what's the concern with that man? That shem yichata that you're gonna want to heat it up more. So is it so out of the question that a person will heat something will raise the temperature on something like this? I don't know. The concern would still seem to be there. I would think.
Could you get out of the hatmana issue by maybe taking the meat before you in the bag that you're marinating it in, or spicing, or whatever it really is, like you cover it with like a paper towel or something, in a way that like you can still eat it, but just so that it's a step removed from the water. It may not actually happen like on a practical level. If you would heat it up anyways, you may still heat it up now. But it might. But if it's just a purely technical thing, you might get
words,
out of it.
The words sous vide are apparently French, and they mean vacuum packed. Apparently, it only works well when it's a vacuum packed bag, which means that it's got to be, that's why they use Ziplocs and you completely take all the air out of it. If you could somehow create a buffer between the water and the, so I hear it.
The way you explain the machine is that the water is constantly rotating over the top and whatnot. The fact that water is constantly moving around the bag and not staying in one place, would that be a way to get around the hatmana issue?
I don't think so. Why? Because it's moving, but there's never a moment where the bag doesn't have hot water
same,
around.
It's not the same water that's in contact with the bag.
I think just molecules of water tend to move around anyway, no?
It's sitting still.
Yeah, I think so.
With the
fusion.
See, there are some smart people here. The answer is I don't know, but they do. So, yeah.
Is hatmana only when it's the second level covering, or is it the second level or higher covering?
What do you mean by second level or higher?
I mean, like, if I have a pot, that's just the...
That's just the pot.
Right. So the second level would be something around the pot.
Right.
If it's not something around the pot, but something around something around the pot that actually keeps in the heat.
So...
If I put a piece of foil all around the pot, that's not going to keep in heat in the slightest. Would that still
be... Why would that not keep in heat in the slightest?
It's extremely conductive and it won't help keep heat in.
I don't know, in the slightest? I'm not sure if that's... I think you could violate Hatmana with foil. Yeah, I think so.
I'm not a complete expert on sous vide cooking, but if you have water flowing through a heating element and then back into a larger reservoir that the meat is in, then is that how it works? Because if you have it flowing through a heating element and then into the larger body of water, then you could even argue that the larger body of water is a cliché.
No, it's not. It doesn't go out of the. It's all. It sits in the pot the entire time. There's just this. Imagine just a coil sticking in the pot. So that's the fire. You know, it's not like it's not a separate cleave that it's going into and then coming back out to. Right? There's no. You know, it's not miskara at all by being poured out or by hitting the dofnei akli or anything like that. So I think it's definitely would be a kli rishon.
We heard Paul Rabelski saying that we now answered why there's no issue of Hatmana, but there's surely been no Maisa Hatmana. Hatmana is just there in view of the Maisa Bishel, which we've done from before Shabbos.
So it's a similar svar as what you're saying, that if that's the Bishel, then how can you call that Hatmana?
Yeah,
so. I'm not sure. Maybe there is such a svar. I don't know. We have to work on it. I'm presenting the cutting edge issue. Now you're learning Shabbos. You've got to go out and figure it out. So get back to me, everybody, okay? All right, we're going to have to stop here. But thank you very much, everyone. And continue that stuff and all of your learning.